Well, thank you very much, Terence, for your no spring chicken introduction. And all I can say is that if I had only had the privilege of leading Charlene to the Lord in my lifetime, I'd be happy. Because what a wonderful young lady. And yes, it was Carol's and my privilege to pray for her, to find her life partner. And we remember the day when we saw her, and there was just a sparkle in her eye, and we knew something special was happening. And what an incredible joy when we met Terence, and we followed this ministry with joy and delight and thanksgiving to the Lord for what he's done. And we consider it something very, very special. So yeah, I wasn't really quite knowing what to make of it when Terence said to me, picking me up at the airport the other day, he said, you know, a lot of these folk have had to listen to this this young bloke spouting off. I said, I think it'd be quite good for them to hear an old bloke spouting off. And he didn't quite say, well, I'll tell them that you're just about to fall off your perch. But anyway, I hope I don't fall prey either now or in the future to a situation I read of a little while ago of an old guy of 85. I'm not 85. I turn 74 in a couple of weeks' time. But this old guy was 85, and he was a very keen golfer. And he said to his wife one day, he said, sweetheart, I've got to give up golf. Because, you know, when I hit the ball, I can't see where it goes. Very awkward. So she said, well, now listen, I'll tell you what. I know you've got problem with your sight, but when you go out to play golf, why don't you take my brother with you? She said, look, I know he's 93, but you know he's got terrific eyesight. And why don't you go out on the golf course with my brother? So he said, oh, quite an idea. So he went out on the golf course with his wife's brother, his brother-in-law, age 93, and he hit the ball a terrific clout, and away it went. And he said to his brother-in-law, did you see where it went? He said, yes. He said, where? He said, I can't remember. So Terence, I hope I can still remember a bit. But beloved ones, I want to say one thing I can remember very well, is that on October 23rd, 1955, I said yes to Jesus Christ and accepted him as my Lord and Savior. I remember that as if it were yesterday. And I want to talk with you this evening about Jesus as Lord. There's nothing more exciting than totally selling out to Jesus Christ as Lord. And I want to challenge you with that tonight. And to that end, I want to just ask you to bow your heads in prayer with me for a moment. And then I want to read you a scripture passage and then share with you. So our dear Lord and King, our Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, we come to you, Triune God, tonight, and ask you, Lord, to reach into and speak into the needs and secrets of every heart here tonight. You know each one. You know some come rejoicing and happy and successful. Others come anguished with different troubles, needs, even sorrows, worries, some experiencing severe temptation, others carrying around a load of guilt. Maybe even some here, Lord, who doubt that you are Lord, and who say, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. And so I just pray, Lord, tonight that you will speak into each heart, that eyes will open afresh to different arenas and dimensions of life where we need to let you absolutely take over, so that you can bless us with a fullness of blessing at that point in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Beloved, I want you to turn with me, please, if you would, if you've got your Bibles, to Philippians chapter 2. Wonderful passage, very famous passage. Many of you would know it. And I'm going to just read it through, I think, from verse 1 to verse 11, if you'd like to follow. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any incentive of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, I came to that realization just now, 55 years ago, that Jesus was indeed God incarnate, who'd stepped onto our planet and who required my full and total allegiance. I'd been in church, I'd been in Sunday school, I'd gone to a church school and all of that. But I never realized that he truly who he was as Lord and what he required of me. I mentioned this morning in the church over at Table View that I had the privilege many years ago of sharing a platform with James Irwin, who was the first United States astronaut to drive a moon buggy on the moon. Can you imagine the thrill of that? And he was involved in a great quest to fill the emptiness in his heart by flying, by aeroplanes, by more and more faster and faster planes and more ambitious schemes and projects. But he had a mother who knew that what that empty heart needed was Christ. There might be some folk here today, and you've tried all sorts of expedients to fill what Pascal called the God-shaped vacuum in the human heart, and it hasn't yet been filled. That was James's experience, James Irwin. Finally, he became, with his praying mother behind him, he became a United States astronaut, and he went to the moon on that incredible venture, and he was going to drive the first moon buggy on the moon, and he did. But you know, also on the moon, he found Christ. I hasten to assure you, it is unnecessary to go to the moon. In order to find Christ, Cape Town will do. And parents, any parents here, you don't have to send your kids to the moon for it to happen. But it did, and why not? Because after all, John says in his prologue, without him was not anything made that was made. Paul says in Colossians 1, he says, all things were made through him and for him, and in him all things hold together. So if that's all part of his creation, why shouldn't he be there? Of course he's there. And that's where James had his great moment. And when he came back to earth, you might say, he spent the balance of his life sharing about Christ. He sadly died prematurely, but that's what he did. He's got a wonderful biography called To Rule the Night, autobiography. But I was preaching one time in London, in a big central church in London, and in the vestry there I saw this beautiful big framed picture, black and white picture of James Irwin driving his buggy on the moon. Incredible picture. And underneath it he has inscribed, and he wrote there, "Man walking on the moon is not nearly as significant as God walking on the earth." Amen? Do you say amen around here? Is it okay? It's allowed. I mean, like us Anglicans, you know, we say amen all the time at the end of long prayers, but we don't say it otherwise. And so the reality is, beloved, that our God has walked upon planet Earth. We are, as C.S. Lewis says, the invaded planet. This is where our Lord God came in incarnate form in Jesus Christ. And if any human being misses that, you miss that for which you were born. Augustine said, "Thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee." That's what we're made for. We're made for that relationship with him. And if you miss that, you miss the whole cadoodle. You miss what it's all about. And I want to affirm tonight that Jesus Christ is Lord. Abraham Kuyper, the great Dutch theologian in the 19th century, this is what he said: "There is not one inch of the entire creation about which Jesus Christ does not cry out, 'This is mine. This belongs to me.' Everything is his." So my question tonight is, are you really his in the full sense in which you ought to be? You are his creation, but are you fully yet his son or his daughter? Because we don't by creation become God's children. We simply become his creation, his creatures. The only way we become his children is becoming by adoption what we are not by nature. Paul says in Galatians 4:4, "Christ came in the fullness of time to redeem us and then to adopt us, so that then we could say, 'Abba, Father,'" Galatians 4:4. He adopted us so we can call him Abba, Father. If you've not been redeemed and adopted, you can't call him Daddy, which is what Abba means. And so he wants you in that fully surrendered state of being his child and he being your daddy, your heavenly Abba Father. So it's a phenomenal thing to pause and to think of our Lord Jesus as the Lord of everything, that he is Lord. The Greek word for Lord is kurios, which means a supreme authority in the whole universe. That's who he is. And so I'm saying, first of all, that he is the Lord of creation. Everything out there he has made. Right up to the farthest universes, right down to the most smallest microcosms, he has made it all. He's made our planet Earth in all of its beauty. I hope when you wander around, you see his signature everywhere, and you praise him, and you bless him for it, because he's the Lord of creation. Hebrews 1:3 says he upholds the universe by his word of power. The scientists can't even start to get to the bottom of the universe and of its size and its extent. And Hebrews says, Jesus upholds the universe by what? By a word. That's how it's held together. Paul's word in Colossians 1:17, in him all things hold together. And he, all things were made through him and for him. And in him all things hold together. So he's the Lord of creation. You know what that means, beloved? If he has that power, there's no problem that you can bring him tonight that he can't handle. He can handle anything. And at the end of my remarks, I'm going to give you a chance to come forward if there's anyone here and you say, I want this Jesus to enter into this arena of my life, this problem. I want to be blessed. I want him to touch me afresh. And he has the power to do it. There's nothing any of you are facing tonight that he can't handle. Might be a health problem. Might be a financial problem. Could be a sexual problem. Could be an addiction problem. Could be a relational problem. Could be a problem with a parent. Could be a problem with a spouse or a boyfriend or girlfriend or fiancé. I don't care what it is. He can deal with that because of his power. And our Lord said, all power in the cosmos and on earth is committed to me. Isn't that great? And lo, I'm with you always. Awesome. Then I want to say also that he's the Lord of Scripture. You know, when he was met the disciples on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24:27, it says, beginning at Moses and the Psalms and the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Can you imagine that? Here's this Middle Eastern prophet, supposedly, walking along a road to this place called Emmaus, meeting these two disciples. And he picks up the Old Testament, as it were. They would have had familiarity with it in their minds, the Old Testament scriptures. He says, you know, guys, beginning at Moses and the Psalms and the prophets, this whole deal is about me. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? He says, everything in the scriptures is about me. And then when he met the disciples later, he expounded to them again. He said, the whole thing's about me. This whole book is about me. Doesn't that absolutely boggle the mind? Then I want to say also that this Lord Jesus is Lord of the elements. He's a Lord of nature. I shared this morning in the Table View congregation about Jesus calming the storm in Mark chapter 4. And he could step up to that storm and speak to it, to the waves and the wind, and there was peace came upon it. And I was saying to them, as I say to you, if any of you got a storm going in your life tonight, beloved, he can calm that. He has the power to deal with that. He can calm the storms in nature. He can command the storms and deal with the storms in any of your lives tonight and say, peace be still. And a real peace can come in and invade your storm. I believe so many 20th century people, old, middle-aged, and young, experience storms of different sorts. If you've got one of those tonight, you can bring that to the Lord too. He can deal with that. But he's the Lord of the elements. Then I want to say he's the Lord of life. Scientists spend a lot of time trying to get to the bottom of what it's all about. What is the DNA all about? The DNA helix, fully to understand it. The New Testament says about Jesus that he is the author of life. He's the author. And that's quite something when he says he's the one behind it all. The author. So he's the Lord of life. The mystery of life. And of new life. We've been enjoying today St. Christian. This Tiensis and Charlene's very handsome baby. Beautiful baby. Gets his looks from Charlene. No question. about that. But the marvelous miracle of new life. Our Lord's behind, beloved, all of that. The miracles of birth and conception. He's behind it all. The Lord of life. As amazing and as wonderful, he's the Lord of death. He was Lord over his own death. And he died on that cross, was wounded there for you and for me. He didn't have to do that. He paid the price for your sin and for mine. Every one of us is like Barabbas. And they came to Barabbas and they said, Barabbas, you can go free. Barabbas the robber, how can I go free? Well, because someone is going onto that cross in your place. So, beloved, each of us here tonight, we are Barabbas. He went there for us. There were scores of legal points of jurisprudence in Roman and Jewish law to which Jesus could have appealed and prevented himself going to that cross. But he didn't. He said his hour had come. He went there. He was Lord of his death. And he said, my hour has come. He came to planet Earth for that moment to bear your sin and mine. Have you appropriated that moment? Have you done the Barabbas thing of allowing him to, that he went to the cross for you so you now can go free? And he was Lord of his own death at that moment. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's an amazing reality. The atonement. You know, so if you have, for example, if I take this here and say my left hand here represents the human race, and then on us is the weight of sin and our of iniquity, and then over here on my right hand is Jesus. And the prophet says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, the Heavenly Father, has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He's carried it. And he volunteered that death and went to that cross for you and for me. He's Lord of death. Of his own. And of course, he rose from the dead. An item of history. Not about once upon a time, an item of history. And then you know he's the Lord of your death and mine. None of us, beloved, knows our time. None of us. It is the most certain event in our lives that we will die. And the timing of it, the most uncertain. We never know our moment, young or old. Carol and I were going to Johannesburg last December. And I fell asleep at the wheel between Ladysmith and Harrismith. I've never done that before in my life. But I got up very early to prepare something. Left the road at 120 k's an hour. And the Lord, by his miraculous grace, delivered us from the grim reaper. And he spoke to me in a dream that night. Said, I'm giving you extra time. But I want your attention. So I said, I'm sorry you had to nearly kill me to get your attention. To get my attention. But in my life and times, I have seen lots of people who in their teens, 20s, 30s, they never realized their time had come. But he is a Lord of that. And how wonderful to think and to know, to have the peace, passing understanding, that if he calls you home tonight, if a car hits you going home, or you had a heart attack or something like that, you go straight to glory to be with him. That's the most wonderful thing to know. It gives a peace passing all understanding that he is the Lord of life and the Lord of death. And we're going to face that. You know, I remember reading some years ago an epitaph that a man had put on his grave. Remember me as you pass by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you must be. So be prepared to follow me. And someone came and wrote a little postscript underneath on the epitaph and said, and unto that I'll not consent until I know which way thou went. But it's coming. And I want to say to you, this life is a prep school. This life is just the beginning show. This life is just the starter. Main course, guys, is coming. The big reality is coming. And if you don't have a worldview that takes cognizance of the big deal that's coming, you're missing out on what reality is all about. Because you are made with a soul with a capacity for eternity. And the big deal's coming. And you've got to live this life under the realization that it's coming. The medievals used to say, you need to live life sub specie aeternitatis, which is Latin for under the aspect of eternity. You must live life under the aspect of eternity. So you stand here on earth and you say, Our Father who art in heaven. So constantly there is this interaction between us and heaven. That's what's coming. And it's glorious. We are the great amphibians between nature and supernature. Here we are on earth and in nature, but we move back and forth between here and supernature. And our destiny, our ultimate destiny, is to be with him. Hey, don't miss out on that, guys. If there's anyone here you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, don't postpone it. Come and do it tonight. So one of us could pray for you. Just come forward to the front and we can pray for you. Don't be shy about that. You know what the apostle says? He says, Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has there entered the heart of man the things God has prepared for them that love him. Ain't that awesome? There may be some here tonight, and you say, Michael, that's what I'm going to come forward for tonight, because I'd like to ask for prayer over this area, because it's quite a traumatic, a difficult one for me. And you may be panicking, thinking the Lord's got everybody else sorted out on that front, but not you. Now, God is faithful. If that's for you, he'll bring the person. From the time I was converted, I prayed every day for 14 years. That the Lord would let me know when the right person came around the corner. And I was doing a mission to UCT in 1969. And the UCT students didn't have an African Enterprise, a lady missioner to put in the women's residences. So they chose a couple. And one of the gals was a missionary from Kenya, and she got malaria. So they said, well, we better substitute her. And they said, we've heard about this great girl called Carol Bam, as a teacher in Cape Town. And so Carol, who is sitting here now listening to me, was chosen. Amen. So I found my wife through a sovereign mosquito bite. Because had that lass not been bitten by that mosquito, Carol would never have been added to the UCT team, mission team, in 1969. Praise God for mosquitoes. Aren't they wonderful? So he can do anything, guys. If it takes a mosquito, he'll do it. But the beautiful thing is he wants to handle this area. There may be some here tonight, you say, you know, I'd love prayer for this. Or there may be some here, or even your fiancé or recently married, and you say, tonight we want to make Jesus Lord of this relationship, Lord of our future. And you can come and you can say, yes, Lord, I'm giving this to you tonight. So I think our time is up. There's lots more that one could share. But maybe I will just say, he must be, beloved, Lord of your gifts. A group like this, you're very gifted. And he hasn't just gifted you to just have a lot of personal and private fun with your gifts. He wants you to offer your gifts to the Lord, your giftings and your abilities, so that your job and your work is where you worship Christ. Does it? You have to go to the mission field or be a pastor. You're a lawyer, you're a doctor, you know, you're a surgeon, you're a business person, you're a teacher, whatever. That's full-time work for Jesus Christ if you give him that arena of your life and of your job. So I close. And I just say to you tonight that man walking on the moon, not nearly as significant as God walking on the earth. He came. He really came. Our God came. And he calls you to himself tonight. That's why the Apostle Paul, talking about Jesus in this chapter, and all that he did in coming to earth and humbling himself. Then at verse 9, he says, therefore. Whenever you see in Scripture, therefore, you must ask what it's there for. But it's because of all of that, therefore, God has highly exalted him, bestowed on him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Beloved, will you bow the knee tonight in whatever area of life the Lord may have challenged you? Because he's a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess. Confess what? That Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that's what I'm asking you to do tonight. And maybe he just wants to bless you in some new way tonight. So I'm just going to ask Willem if maybe the musicians just play quietly. And tonight may be a moment for somebody here. You might be the only person. But I know in a group like this that the leadership loves to pray for people, and it's a wonderful thing to be prayed for. And to have the Lord just take charge of some fresh area of your life. And I want to just invite you, as the musicians, if you guys play quite quietly, we'll stand. And if the Lord has touched you about some arena of your life for which you would like prayer, I'm going to ask you just to slip out from your seat and come up here. Might be just for one person, two or three. We had quite a wonderful throng respond today. You just come forward and we'd love to pray for you. Please just feel a freedom to move out from your seat. And you're just really saying, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life in a new way. And I want you to come perhaps and deal with some storm that I've got in my life. I don't know. And others of you who are part of the prayer or pastoral team, I'm going to ask you to come as well so that we can pray for these precious ones who have come. So just, Willem, if you guys just lead us for a moment.